Blog Talk Radio. also, as we go on the air live with Blog Talk Radio, which is a worldwide web service, and we're on Facebook Live, I'm going to check to see if the pastor is on the phone, and we'll move along from there. Pastor Thomas, are you on the phone? Okay, we're waiting on him. So, while we're waiting on Pastor Thomas, you're on the phone, Pastor Thomas?
His phone line dropped.
Okay. Well, we're going to wait for him to call back in. But while we're waiting, I want to say how yesterday we were so happy to be together as a family, and it was for a happy gathering that we were able to celebrate my niece and her husband. And the food was delicious. It was a peaceful atmosphere. We didn't have an uncle that, you know how they always say everybody got one of them uncles? Thank God we didn't have one that gets, you know, a little over excited. We had a couple of friends of the brides that was there, but they was just having fun. They was not over excited. They just, when they hit the dance floor, they hit the dance floor. So it was very nice. I thank God for yesterday. I thank God that put in the center of it, in case you all don't know what I mean, they put God in the center. My nieces, my sister, Minister Sheila Kaiser, who's gone on to be with the Lord, is her oldest daughter. And she had played a snippet of her mom's prayer that she praised when she was here with us on the earth and for this ministry, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. And she found a way to include her mom. And it just blessed us so. We were so blessed to hear that. And I thank God for her doing that. And I thank God for just seeing the Pastor Trevor Troy Thomas there and the rest of my family and just watching how everybody was dressed. It was a sneaker ball. So, yeah, none of us was complaining about our feet hurting. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Nobody was complaining about their feet hurt. They were standing up too long with them heels on. We didn't have to go through any of that. We had some comfortable shoes on, and I love the fact it was a sneakers ball. I think every ball should be a sneakers ball from this point on. If you want to wear heels, that's your choice. But if you make it a sneakers ball, everybody else will be out of place. But that's just me. That's just me. So I'm going to check back again to see if the pastor's on the line. Pastor Thomas, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, now that y'all have listened to me and the pastor just let me keep on talking, we're going to hand it over to the pastor, and you all can watch me on Facebook Live, or you can go to the pastor's page, which is Servant Troy Thomas. That is his page on Facebook. So let's listen to the man of God to hear what God has put on his heart to share with us. Go ahead, Pastor. It's in your hand.
God bless you. I am sitting on my Facebook page to get ready for my live. And my hair is all over my head. And these curls sometimes get on my nerves. You know what I'm saying? I should just wear it. Look like a Mexican instead of looking like a hobo.
Oh.
I thank God for all that's on here and all that's coming on Facebook Live. Give me 1 second. I have it set up. And we'll go live.
We're just waiting on the pastor. You all be prayerful while we're waiting on the pastor. We just want to pray that God's word come through and that you all can find yourself planted in the center of the service tonight, to open your ears to hear what God is saying to us. That's all we're asking you to do. Because God don't put a strain on you. He just put a desire in your heart. It's up to you to choose you to stay whom you're going to serve. That's it. That's all. Get your Bible, pen, paper, and pass together to hear what the man of God is going to release tonight. So while we're waiting on him to get his curls, as we say, together.
I'm ready.
Oh, you ready? Come on. Activate.
What they doing. However they doing and where they doing. That's how that's going to go. I want to first possibly elect Cecilia Kaiser and Renee Kaiser, and for the whole Smile East family as a whole. Thank God for the opportunity to share with God's people what God has given us. And I just want to talk about a simple subject, if I can, tonight. I just want to talk about our children. I want to talk about parenting. I'm going to read just one scripture. It's not going to be a whole lot of scripture. I just want to talk some good common sense. And I talk some good common sense. I want to talk about, once again, our children. I want to talk about the saints of God's children. I want to talk about the children as a whole. I want to talk about our connection with their lives, our responsibilities and accountability with their lives. I want to talk about where God has expected us to go, expected us to do, when it comes to bring that water from the water. I want to talk about these things because I have been so saddened lately about so many things that I've heard about the children and what they're dealing with, what they're going through, and what's happening with them. Not only that, I'm saddened by, even by the about the parents' connections with the children and all the things that's happening. So let's say a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father, we thank you, we glorify you, we give your name the praise. For you are worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all everything that's happening, Father. We thank you and we glorify you and we give your name the praise. For there is none like you. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing, what you're about to do, and how you're about to do it. Father, we bind the devil that tries to block our hearing. Father, we bind the devil that tries to come against what you have ordained. Father, we give you glory, we give you praise. And Father, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to receive the word of God, receive instructions and receive wisdom. So, Father, we need wisdom in our life for what we're going through, what we've been through, and what we're about to deal with. And Father, we thank you that we will not falter. We will not step back. Father, we will go ahead, and we will do what we have been asked of. And Father, for this we give you glory. For this we give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, thank God and amen. If you can, you're on Facebook Live here with me. Do me a favor and share. Share this if you don't mind. Once again, I want to talk about children. I want to read just one. I'm going to read two scriptures. I want to read this one. Proverbs 22:5 says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them." The sixth verse says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Once again, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, it will not depart from it. I want to talk about it again. I want to talk about children. Hey, Mama Smith, Mother Smith, Evangel Smith, First Lady Smith, how y'all doing this evening? I want to talk about our children, why it's important that we learn to focus on our children. We have to learn to focus on things that the devil is trying to destroy, trying to conquer, trying to snuff out. I was at a conference, and the man of God began to talk about the two harlots. He talked about the two harlots when it comes to King Solomon. He was talking about how the wisdom of King Solomon was coming forth. And the significance of the harlots and the significance of the instruction that came with in First Kings that came with what King Solomon was doing. What he did was, we all know the story. The story just simply says this, that there were two harlots and they were both sleeping and they both had children days apart. And so then one, as they fell asleep this particular night, one fell asleep just fine. But the other one fell asleep and fell asleep on her child. She fell asleep on her child and ended up killing her child. And in the middle of the night, while the other mother was asleep, she went and switched the child. So then when they got up in the morning, the mother whose actual child it was got up and went, they decided to go to the king to say, she stole my child. So the one, you know, they were going back and forth with whose child it was. King Solomon decided to say, okay, then this is what we're going to do. Nobody can give me a gesture. Nobody can solidify who is the mother. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to divide the child in half. And, of course, the real mother stepped forth and said, whatever you do, don't kill the child. Let the other woman have the child. That is an indication of the love of from the mother to the child. The thing that we have seen today is that we see more parents more concerned about their own lives and not the lives that they brought into this world.
Yeah.
You see, most fathers that's out there living their best life, they don't want to be bothered with their baby mamas or their ex-wives or their current wives or current mothers they have children by. Their children are not important. Their children are not connected with them. And they see their father here and there, and they deal with them here and there. And the mothers are chiming in to make sure, because they are hurt and mad at the father, that the children don't have a connection that's needed with the father. And so then what the men of God begin to talk about, he begin to talk about how here is a particular woman. After King Solomon says, let's just divide the child in half, and the real mother said, no, let's not divide the child in half. Give it to her, and so the child can live. But her response wasn't, okay, I'll take the child. Her response was like, no, just kill the child. And so the significance of this, what the man of God relayed to us, was simply this. Be careful of those that are around that are okay with killing the next generation. Be careful for those that are around that are okay with seeing our children live beneath their privilege, not having a love connection with their parents, not having a love connection with their family, not having a love connection or introduction to Jesus Christ. Now watch this. We grew up in church many, many, many years. And what happened is our mother took us to church. And there was no such thing as you could stay home. For the Bible declares that as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now watch this. It isn't about we shall be saved. It said we shall serve the Lord. So in serving the Lord, there was no such thing. Remember this, Ozell? That we had to be at Tuesday night Bible study. Didn't care about that. We had to be at Friday night Holy Ghost night at the Mission Way Church of God in Christ on the corner of 59th and Union. We had to be at Sunday school. Let's back up. We had to be there Saturday to do we call the old people choir rehearsal, which ended up being the Sunshine Band choir rehearsal, which ended up being clean up the church before Sunday service was happening, right? So we clean up the church, we wipe it down the chairs, we sweep, we mop, we clean the bathroom, we wipe off the piano and the two drums that we had, wipe off the seats, pick up papers that may have been left behind, maybe a couple of stories prior to that. We were there from Sunday school to afternoon service to YPWW to Sunday night service. And there was no such thing as you staying home from church. You had to be almost definitely sick not to be left at home and not to be brought in the house of God. Now watch this. That did not make us saved. But what it did do was it put us in the position to where we knew who Christ was. You know why? Because we were under the teaching of the man and Pastor Antoine Hindenburg Jones and Mother Alma Hindenburg. Hindenburg Jones. He's just Antoine Hindenburg. And Mother Alma Hindenburg Hindenburg Jones. They taught us, they raised us, they trained us, our mothers. And watch this. This was important. Whenever we would come in the house, can I get somebody that look that had a real sanctified mother? That when we would come into the house, watching and seeing and hearing our mother or father praying to God on their knees with their Bible in front of them, reading the Word of God and praying to the God that they claimed to serve. And it wasn't just a Sunday thing. It was a consistent lifestyle that they begin to live in front of us. Once again, train up a child, which means they had to stand up in front of us and not just declare only with their mouth that they were saved, not only with their mouth that they went to church, not only with their mouth and in front of the church people did they really declare salvation, but they declare salvation 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 12 months of the year, 52 weeks out the year, and day after day, they wanted you to know that they were children of the Most High God. Because it wasn't just about religion. They developed a relationship. So please type on the comment section. Those are on here on Facebook Live. Type in the connection. I must have a relationship with God. Come on. Type in the comment section. I must have a relationship with God. The relationship with God was an important thing, not just to the individual parents, but so that the children could see and recognize and keep this thing going about salvation, about who Christ is and his significance in our lives, and how he would make a way out of no way, how we loved him, how we appreciated him, how we loved him, how he healed us, how he made a way, how he delivered us, how he brought us out of poverty. When the government may have said, the job may have said no, your school may have said no, the neighborhood may have said no, God said yes. But they had to not just talk about it, but they had to be about it. It's not just enough to give God lip service. It's not just enough to give everybody lip service. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Type in the comment section, too, as you finish that talk. Say, just don't talk about it. Be about it. Come on, people of God. Just talk about it. Let's be about it. This scripture declares in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse, it's our responsibility as parents to train and raise our children the right way. And the problem is we are so consumed with our own selfishness. We are so consumed with our own lives. We are also so consumed with what makes us look good that we forget about the lives that we brought into this world. Now watch this. Not one time did any child say, bring me into this world. Not one time did one child say, I want to be born a dream. We as grown-ups or playing grown-ups decided to be intimate with our husband or our wife or whomever it was and decided to bring a child into this world. And once we brought this child into this world, why, isn't it funny how back in the day the government made you completely responsible for your children? But now today's society, do whatever you want to do, who you want to do it to, how you want to do it, where you want to do it, it does not matter. Just do your own thing. But we sit back day after day, time after time, Cousin Sylvia, and we watch on the news. We watch on social media. We watch everywhere that these children are killing each other. And they have no respect or honor for lives, nobody else's lives or their own. Listen, my numbers was high, but they done went down. Now that I'm talking about accountability and responsibility, these children are looking for ways to get high. They're looking for ways to. I have a really good brother friend of mine named Apostle Marlon Hester. If you look on his page, he gives his testimony on how his son just passed away. He had some situations in his life that caused him to be in unnecessary battles. And the battle got the best of him now. It wasn't that things were not going, could not go the way they're supposed to. We are not putting our children in the right position to make the right choice. They don't respect us. Now, I understand that some things that we grew up with, we didn't have. You know, we didn't walk around with Nikes. We had Bobos. They make your feet feel fine. Bobos. They cost $1.99. We went to Amvets. We went to Vintage. We went to Zares. We went to the Village thrift store. We wore secondhand clothes and third-hand clothes, thrift store clothes. Some of us didn't have no belts, so we put rope in our loops of our pants. You know what I'm saying? Then we had our pants cups. You know what I'm saying? So every time we grew, they let the pants out longer. We had patches over our pants and patches over our shoes. And then once we got to the place that we didn't have to live that way, we gave our children everything that we thought we could give them. But we put them in a place of ungratefulness. We put them in a place of entitlement. We put them in a place of being selfish, self-centered, egotistical, rude, and disrespectful. And so then in the midst of all this, what's going on, we gave them more than sometimes maybe we should have. My father told me growing up, when you bring home D's and F's, I don't buy new gym shoes for people that bring home D's and F's. Why? He said, because D stands for dummy and F stands for fool. Now, they say, don't call your child a dummy. Well, my mama would say, you're not dumb, but you're acting like a dummy. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, talk to me. Come on, tell me if your mom ever said you acting like a dummy or you acting a fool. What she was saying is you not dumb, but you acting like you are. You're pretending like you are. You're not foolish, but you're not a fool, but you're acting foolish. You're acting, which means that you're putting on a airs. You're doing things that you know better to do. Isn't it funny that I was talking to a young lady was in the car on yesterday, on Saturday, and she said this. She said, I have a nephew. He's 21 years old, and when he decided, now this morning, he decided to quit a good job at UPS. He said the reason why he quit the job was, he said, because it was too many hours. They was asking him to work 40 hours a week. He's 21. 21 years old, and they was asking to work 40 hours a week. So he decided to quit the job because how dare them come to work and to do the job? How dare we ask our children to clean the room that they don't pay for, to pick up behind themselves, to do some chores, to go to school and not act a fool? But they want new devices. They want new clothes. They want new shoes. They want to go to parties. They want to drive your car. They want to do all these particular things, but you can't ask them something simple like, is your room clean? Why your room ain't clean? Why you ain't doing what you're supposed to do? And the fact of the matter is we keep rewarding them and giving them, making them believe they have the right to disregard what we're teaching them. What we're doing is we're robbing them of being mature. We're robbing them of being responsible. We're robbing them of being the kind of person that can be depended on once they get grown. That's why some of these kids in their 30s and 40s is still living with their mamas and daddies, because they still are being taken care of. They are overprivileged, Ozell. They are over. Some things it's time to be over with. Somebody say it's time to be over with. But we're robbing these children time and time again and wonder why they can't get things right and why they can't get over the hump. Because we keep doing things that's causing them to lose when God has made us all winners. Come on, type in the comment section, my children are winners. Okay, then? Well, since they are winners, we have to put them on the winning path. The Bible declares that wide is the path that leads up to destruction, which means there is no boundaries, there is no stability, there is no regulations, there are no rules. That's wide is the path. They can do whatever they want, go wherever they want, act however they want. And this is the problem. We leave them not stable because we don't care about stability. We're just caring about ourselves. But the Bible declares that wide is the path that leads unto destruction, but narrow is the way. And if you ever roll down a narrow road, you cannot really go off too much, because if you do, you're going to fall in a ditch. You're going to fall in some water. You're going to fall. You're going to go off the world road and mess up your car. So we have to put those boundaries in play so when they get older, they understand. When they go to work, when they get a job, they got to be on time. They got to do what they're being paid to do. They can't talk back and disrespect the manager and talk about they was tweaking. They was no cap. They was tripping because they expected you to come to work to do what they are paying you to do. How dare them? Problem is, it's getting worse and getting worse. What you understand is they're saying that the ages from 14 to 19 is where all of the crime in Illinois is happening, between 14-year-olds and 19-year-olds. The question is, why as parents you don't know where your 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old child is? Because in the state of Illinois, These kids are going to jail by an alarming rate. They're going to jail by an alarming rate. My cousin told me that her granddaughter was robbed by some kids, and these same kids that robbed her to the car went Shawan and killed somebody else, shot somebody else. But God protected her grandbaby from some other kids that were doing the wrong thing. Let me tell you something. In my parents' house, there was no such thing as close the door. They said, you don't own no room. You can't close no door around here. What you doing in my room? What room? Because 1023 North Key, 846 over the burn, 4511 Idaho Lane, said Frederick Allen Thomas Sr. So because Frederick Allen Thomas Sr. name was on all those bills, it was his house. We were just staying there for a little while. We were staying there until we was old enough to get out and get your own. My mama told me that it's a grown person, it's like a tub that sit on his own bottom. That's the problem. We're so busy coddling our children. We're so busy giving them whatever they want because we feel some kind of way because they're getting on our nerve. Mama. Let me tell you something. If we ever did that to Sandra Irene, our whole side of face would be swollen up with a hand press. Because mama would say, what? Go sit down somewhere. Don't make me hurt you. Don't make me kill you and bring you back. I want to talk about our children. I want to talk about how do we learn to communicate with them? How do we learn to listen to them? How do we learn to take in what they're saying and why they're saying? How do we learn how to pull back our pride and our ego to understand that what we had to deal with, it's a whole other generation. They're dealing with stuff we've never had to deal with. But if you are a praying parent, if you are a person parent that is connected with God, the Bible says that he would not leave us ignorant of Satan's devices, which means he would give us all the knowledge that we need when it comes to what our children are dealing with, what they're going through, and how we can help them overcome. Someone type in the comment section, we shall overcome. My baby shall overcome. My son shall overcome. Being a black man, whatever color man he is, my daughter shall overcome. My grandchildren shall overcome. My nieces and my nephews shall overcome. My little cousins shall overcome. We shall overcome every trap from Satan that tries to tell us that we will not conquer, but we will lose. We are not losers. God has made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lenders and not the borrowers. But it is our job, men and women of God, that's on this Facebook, that you share this, our job to train, raise, put them in a place of accountability and responsibility so they can grow up to be productive adults.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid of, we're going to have so many children that they don't want to work. That's why they robbing and stealing and killing, because they're so entitled to believe they should have whatever they want, how they should want it, not work for it. Even the Bible says faith without work
is dead.
God told Adam that you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow on the field in order for your livelihood to have any kind of stability.
Mm-hmm.
So, people of God, I came here to tell you, to encourage you, if I could, train up your child in the way they should go. So they want to get old, they won't depart from it, which means we have to take time with our children. We have to take time. We're not going to always like what they got to say. We're not going to always like what they're doing. But it's our job to provide wisdom. It's our job to provide instruction. It's our job to pray for them. And guess what? Sometimes the point of that prayer will simply be, Lord, whatever you have to do to get their attention, do it. Sometimes our prayer will simply be, Lord, whatever you have to do to get their attention, do it.
Do it.
Just that plain, that simple. Whatever you have to do, Lord, however you have to do it, get their attention. Because it's important that God has their way. And it's also important, as we call ourselves men and women of God and Christians of God, that we stop doing things in front of our children that's not of God.
That's it.
I know. We got to stop saying things in front of our children that's not Christian-like, Christ-like. We got to stop doing things for our children that's not Christ-like. And you know what they are. And you know what you're doing. And you say, I'm grown, I can do whatever I want to. You can. But stop claiming salvation because you're not saved. You are safe. S-A-F-E. S-A-F-S-A foolishness E. Not S-A-B-E-D. You're not S-A-victory. You're S-A-F foolish.
Amen, man.
Tell somebody now, baby, you're not saved. You're not S-A-victory. You are S-A-F foolish.
That's
just foolish for us to keep giving the devil everything he wants from us and want God to keep running to our rescue when all we have to do is resist the devil, as the Bible declares, and he will flee.
Mm-hmm. That's the word. That's the word.
I'm just trying to tell you what God is telling me. I want to say to you, I want to encourage you today, our job is to pray for these children, pray for these young adults, pray for our grandchildren and our seed, so that they would understand the importance of Christ in their life. I had the opportunity and the privilege to stand and to do my cousin's wedding renewal 25 years on yesterday. But I had to let them know that without Christ, these things are not possible. That without Christ, it will not happen. Without Christ, these things are far in between. This is what's needed in the house of God today. Mother Edie, we claim to be saved. We claim to be delivered. But outside of church, we're acting foolish. Foolish. Remember when we grew up, we knew the saints of God. Can I get some hearts and thumbs for that? How many remember you knew the saints of God? They didn't have to say a word because we knew who the saints of God were. How did we know them? Because the light that was shining through them, through their conversation, through their love, through their wisdom, and their actions. I told you I would come home from school, see my mother at the couch, on her knees, the pillow on her knees, praying and crying out to God, praying and bombarding God on their behalf, not just for her children, but for her sister, for her mother, for the people of God, for the children to come, and for the neighbor and the neighborhood, for the city that she lived in, for the state, and the country and the world that she lived in, because she served to God, glory to God, that she knew that could turn things around. But we've gotten out of this particular thing. We've got away from it, and what we're doing now is something unnecessary.
Took the prayer out.
We're doing unnecessary things. We're saying unnecessary things. We're not showing forth the light of God that's in our life, that wants to bring us out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Yes.
This is the time for us to build word of our loneliness. I preached on yesterday, getting ready, being prepared for the bridegroom. Let me tell you something. Jesus is on his way back. I know we're not paying attention, but like I said one more time, I heard yesterday that the scientists of NASA, Mother Eve, said they found out that the sun is bigger than what it really is. Listen to what I'm saying. They found out that the sun was bigger than what it is. What's the significance of that, Pastor Troy? Let me tell you the significance of this. The Bible declares that when he came the first time to wipe the earth out, he came with water. But he made a promise and left the rainbow as a significance of this promise that I'm not the next time I'm come, I'm not gonna come with water, but I'm gonna come with fire. You tell me one thing that we know in this universe that is bigger and hotter than the sun. And if the sun hits this earth, what kind of fire is it going to be? All I know is I don't want to be here after the rapture. My job is my goal is to see you face to face. After the dead that's in Christ shall rise, and those that I remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. I don't know about you, but my goal is to see my Savior face to face, to live a life that's pleasing unto him. God, purify me with fire. But let's not forget our accountabilities and our responsibilities.
which is our children. Respect them, love them, honor them, train them, hold them accountable and responsible so they can be productive adults. This young lady on here, I've known her all her life. I went to high school with her mom, with her dad. I grew up with her, me and her father grew up together, met her mother. This young lady, I can't pronounce her first name, I know her last name, Foster. She has a business, and her business is booming because she had people. She had a grandmother. She had people around her that pushed her to a better place. Her business is booming. She does hair. She has female products when it comes to eyelashes and nails. She does a wonderful job. She's right here on here. Go put your information up here. Natalia, put your information on in there. Put your information on it. She does a wonderful job. She's a young lady, and this is a testimony of what good raising and training a child would be. This is what we have to do. This is how we have to do it. I just wanted to encourage you tonight. I just wanted to push you tonight to let you know, to encourage you, to encourage somebody else's child. Encourage your children. Push them to greatness. Don't let the devil have them. Don't let the devil run rapid in their lives. Don't let these popping perks and mollies and all these different drugs that are just killing these children take over their lives. They're smoking more weed. These kids look old as ever. They look old. They look old because they're living hard lives. They get high every day. They're getting drunk every day. They popping these pills every day. They popping pills every day. Taking prescription pills that they don't know what's doing to their body. Come on, people of God. Let's pray specifically for our children. Let's pray for our sons and our daughters, our granddaughters, our grandsons, our nieces, our nephews, the neighbors' kids, the kids at the school, the kids at the churches, at the stores, in the playground, at the park, at the music park. Let's pray for these children. Let's ask God, how do we deal with them? How, give us the wisdom. And let your spirit consume us so that when we see them, that we are encouraging, that we are instructed, even we are corrected to the point where they can take that correction and live a better life. It's important. It's needed in the name of Jesus. Let's say a word of prayer. Let's say a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we give you glory and we give you honor. Father, tonight you told us to talk about our children. Father, that's a seed that is sown into this earth. And Father, some of us have great seeds. And Father, some of us, we won't be able to plant one seed. But Father, planting one seed or many seeds, it shall have the definite impact for longevity. The definite impact that, Father, they shall shake up this world, shall change this world into a positive way. Father, they should get to know you in the pardon of their sins, get to know you in a relationship way. That, Father, that they're able to open their mouth and confess their sins, believe in their heart that you were raised from the dead, then they shall be saved. And not just stop at salvation, but, Father, be delivered from generational curses. Be delivered from hurts and pains and disappointments and being left behind and not loved and not respected and not considered. And, Father, we thank you that you're breaking all of the strongholds. You're breaking up the fallow ground in their life. And, Father, that the generation will not be lost. They would not be hurt. They would not be devastated. But they would stand on the shoulders of their forefathers and, Father, push until things happen. Pray until things happen. Prophesy until things happen. Pray until things happen. Father, we thank you and we glorify you for the shifting of the atmosphere, the shifting of the atmosphere, the shifting of the atmosphere. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you praise. We shut down every stronghold, every idol, every demonic force, every demonic trap and plan for the children this generation. We bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we glorify you and we give your name the praise. We apply the blood to every boy, to every girl, to every teenager, to every young adult. Father, we thank you from the age of 29 to the age of newborn. We apply the blood to their hearts. To tie the blood to their mind, to their soul, and to their spirit. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus against you now. Take your hands off the children. Take your hands off their mind. Take your hands off their spirit. Take your hands off their parents. Father, let we as their parents be able to stand in the stead and pray and to speak for their deliverance. Father, in the name of Jesus, be what you called him to be the protector, to be the provider, to be the corrector, to be the instructor. Let the mother be their father. In the name of Jesus, to be the nurturer, to be the trainer, to be the raiser. And as they come together, it's a cohesive unit to build up, to strengthen, to lay the foundation that they can build on for the rest of their life, to pass it down to the next generation. We shall not give up. We shall not give in. We won't let go until you do the work. Father, you declare in your word that if we declare a thing, that you shall manifest it for us. Father, we thank you that we manifest victory in our children. Father, from the age of newborn to the age of 30, and to get down in their soul, down in their mind, down in their spirit. The Father, that they're able to reach out to their friends at school, their friends at church, their friends in the neighborhood, their friends in the schoolyard, their friends in the at the store. Father, we thank you that from their cousins to their sisters to their brothers, that they be an example, that they be a light that sit on a hill that will not be healed. Satan, we know that you're bound and you have no victory. We declare and we decree that this next generation is going higher and higher, not just in technology, but, Father, having the right connection, a natural connection, common sense, empathy, sympathy, Father, seeking wisdom, seeking instruction, Father, loving, caring. Father, we thank you that you're turning those things, that you're breaking up the fallow ground, that you're breaking up the stony heart. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, in your name, in your name, and it shall be so in the name of Jesus. Father, now we pray for those that are grieving. We pray now for Apostle Hester as he's grieving. We pray for his family, for his son that lost his life. Father, thank you that for his children, his daughters that are left, his wife and his son's mother, and the family that are connected, that you heal, deliver, and set free. And for those that have lost loved ones, that you heal them. And Father, let them know they have the tools that they need to withstand the very wiles of Satan. For this we give you glory. We bind all through the backlash of retaliation. Satan, you're a liar. And Father, give us peace and rest and restoration as we sleep, as we slumber, that when we wake up, whatever time, that we are fully rejuvenated and we have joy and peace, energy, and strength to move forward in the name of Jesus. Thank God and amen. God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Hart, for some thumbs here on Facebook Live. Come on, everybody. Share this. Share this. Share, share, share. Do Pastor a favor and share. Share, share, share. And God bless you. If you would like to sow a seed, please be, you are able to sow a seed. If you would like to sow a seed, my Cash App is right there. God bless you. If you would like to sow a seed, $Troy7. The word Troy 7. $, the word Troy 7. If you would like to sow a seed, this is good ground. Y'all know, ain't on no foolishness. I love God. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Storms are raging. He's my captain. Where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me. Glory to God. I love you guys. Thank you so very much. As I think, once I give me some hearts and some thumbs, and please do me a favor and share, share, share. And one more time, if you would like to sow a seed, there it is, pinned. My Zelle is 708-595-4843. So again, Zelle number is 708-595-4843. I love you guys. I appreciate you so very much. God is a good God and greatly to be praised. I love him, and he loves me back. He loves you. And know this, we are going to stand in the gap for our children. We're going to stand in the gap for this generation because they will not be lost. They are the next upcoming generation. And if they get lost, what's going to happen after that? We do not want to see our black children. We do not want to see our children, period, be lost and not know who God is and not be productive in every way possible. I love you guys. I appreciate you so very much. And as I always say, hashtag, let us pray. I love you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much for the word on tonight. Like you say, these are our children. They have to take care of us. When we get older, we need the next two generations to step up so they could teach the generations under them.
I thank you for taking the time out to minister to us on tonight, to bring us the word of God, to share with us what God put in your heart. Like you said, to train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they get older, they won't depart from it. So I want to know, is there anyone online that would like to make a comment to the man of God? If you do, go ahead. The lines are open.
Amen. Can you hear me, Ms. Cecilia?
Yes.
I just wanted to say I thank him for reminding us about the importance of wisdom. The word reminds us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And I've been praying for and asking God, not just for wisdom for me, but for my children and my children's children, for generational wisdom, because a lot of people believe they have common sense, but what's common to them don't really make no sense. So therefore, what I'm asking God for is to give us godly wisdom, and that we'll follow that wisdom, because we have cutting edge technology for this. We have cutting edge technology for that. But to have the wisdom of God, And so we pray for a lot of things for our children. We give our children a lot of things. But what about praying for wisdom? And not that they would get the wisdom and lose it, but they would get the wisdom and the understanding from God to know what to do with that wisdom. So thank you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, woman of God. Apostle Elect, for taking the time out to make a comment. Is there anyone else on Facebook? I'm sorry, on Blog Talk that would like to make a comment? Okay, as we wait for our next service, which will be Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Wednesdays, we want to pray and ask you all to tune in. Our next service after that will be Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We ask you to tune in on Facebook as well as Blog Talk to hear what God has to say. I will be ministering, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Our next Sunday morning program will be at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and next Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we will be back on the air, 9 Eastern Standard Time, with Blog Talk and Facebook Live, to hear what God has placed on our hearts to share with you all. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are ready to let you all know something that's not a secret. That is, we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to check back with the pastor to see if he have any cheap plugs he want to put in or tell us about something that he has going on and give us his final comments and pray us out. Pastor, it's back in your hands.
God bless you. Thank you so very much. No cheap plugs. Just to know, if you're looking for a church home, we are at 5818 West North Avenue every Sunday, and that service starts at 9 o'clock, and we're there giving God praise, glory, and honor. And we're starting a series starting this month called The Hoodie Time. And the Hoodie Time is geared toward our young people. Ms. London and myself, we're going to do like a round table discussion about some things every second Sunday for the next 4 months. So for April, May, June, and July, we're going to be doing, not July because that's our family reunion. Well, April, May, and June, we're going to be doing a round table discussion about the young people, what we need to stay connected and to bridge the gap if we can, because it's important that we find a way to pull our young people back into church, back into the presence of God, so they won't miss out, they won't be left out, and they won't let the devil won't trick them in places that they're not meant to be tricked in. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So with that being said, are you willing to, want to, desire to, because we need you to, pray us out.
All right. Dear Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We give your name the praise. Father, we thank you that at this point in our life, Father, we're in the place of our senior time. We're getting to the place where we are in the place, as the Apostle Elect has said, we desire wisdom. Father, you said a foolish man despises wisdom. But, Father, we don't want to be foolish. We want to be those that desire your wisdom, not just for our life, for those that are connected to us in every way possible. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you praise for the next place in our life. Father, we ask you right now, if we were not attentive to some things that we should have been attentive to with our children, with ourselves, with our spiritual life, with our natural life, to forgive us, and Father, we don't want to be caught in the same position again. For our desire is to go above and beyond everything that we believe is possible. Father, you can do exceedingly above all that we could ask or even think. And Father, we thank you for that position that we're walking to. We give you glory. And we bound our spirits of backlash and retaliation. Father, we thank you for the example of 25 years of love and respect and honor. And Father, we thank you that we were able to be a part of that. And Father, it is an example and a stepping stone for us to build on, not just naturally, but spiritually so. And Father, for this we give you glory. I pray now for Apostle Elect. We pray for her strength. We pray for her wisdom. We pray for her next step and our next dimension in you. We pray now for Minister Renee Kaiser, for her family. We pray for the next place in you. We pray for Brandon. Father, we thank you right now that, Father, we're going to pull him closer to you. And, Father, we bind every witch, every warlock, I don't care what aspect it is. We bind it right now in Jesus' name. We command it to be broken, to be severed, and not to be not returned right now. And, Father, every time the devil try to come to make them sick to their stomach, Father, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We command freedom to be his portion. We command freedom to be in his household, that the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, your presence to encamp about every aspect of Brenda's life. And Father, we give you glory. We pray for Juan. We pray for T. We pray for T's children. We pray for Juan's kids. We pray for Pinky. We pray for Carson. We pray for their spouses. We pray for every child in the name of Jesus. Father, there is greatness. There is exceedingly greatness in this family. And Father, we thank you that it shall manifest itself, that it will be so bright that when you walk up, you got to put glasses on to be able to see. And Father, for this, we give you glory and for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And as we leave, we want to leave you with our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Good night, everyone.